defeated, and they've already come in saying, God's not going to do anything for me. You know that. You know as soon as you walked in the door. You know as soon as you got in your car and you drove to church, you had no belief that God would do anything for you tonight. As soon as you stepped in that church door, it was settled, and God can't move now. He's not going to move because of unbelief. When are you going to start believing that God does want to save you? That he, hey, don't let your bitterness and your anger, well, I've been trying, I've been seeking, and I've been this and I've been that. Hey, man, listen, you are the one that's stopping God.
Yeah.
He's ready, it's done, it's over. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57. Could you imagine me and Zach were sitting there talking about Jesus Christ, God, walking amongst the people, Brother David. And when he was walking here on earth, every single person, Miss Stephanie, that he walked by, he was reading their hearts. Could you imagine the sickness of that? Could you imagine? We can only scratch the surface, Mike. We can only scratch the surface to have a little inkling of his holiness and to understand that a holy God was walking among man reading hearts. And yet he still chose to die.
Right.
Let me just say this. God is reading your heart in this room tonight, my friend. He knows the filth that's in there. He knows the unbelief and the hatred and the bitterness. He knows that's in there. But he still chose to send somebody your way.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 57. I want you to look at verse 17 here. It says, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and I smote him, and I hid me, and was wroth. And he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your goodness, Lord, to allow us to be here tonight, Lord. I had no idea this was going to happen, but as soon as the man of God told me, I knew exactly what you wanted me to say, Lord. And I thank you for giving the man of God that. I thank you for allowing me to come up here, Lord, and be responsible to give your word, Lord, what you would have me to say tonight. Lord, I pray that you remove me out of the way. Because it's not me that matters, Lord. It's you, and it's your word that is preached tonight that matters. It's your word that's going to change lives. It's you, Jesus Christ, that's going to step in and be able to save the soul that's here lost tonight, not me. And my God, I pray that you'd hide me behind that cross even tonight. And Lord, we thank you so much for what you have done and for what you've begun to do and that you will continue to do. You will finish because you are faithful.
Right.
And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' holy and precious name. We do pray here. We see here, he says, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and I smote him, and I hid and was wroth. And I just want you to notice this one thing, that God showed him the sin. God showed him his covetousness. He showed that person what is wrong with them. Then it says that he got mad and he hid himself. But look, I want you to see the next part of what that verse has to say. And it says this, of that same person, knowing. Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. That water means a lot to me because I will start choking. We see this person understands their sin. They understand what they've done against God. They understand that God is mad at them. They understand where they stand in God's eyes. But I want you to see the reaction. Instead of the person repenting, Zach, it says they walk. They walk on frowardly in the way of his heart. Instead of being broken for what they've done, instead of allowing godly sorrow to penetrate their heart, they stiffened themselves up. And they went forwardly. Not forward, froward.
Right.
They told God, ha, phooey. Brother David, there's people in this room tonight that are doing that. God has showed them. God has been dealing with them. The Holy Ghost has been rocking the world, telling them things and showing them things. He's even hid himself, Michael. How many times have you cried out to God, God help me, God save me, and it seems like God is not there? Why? He's hid himself on me. Why? Because you're trying to deal with God with a forward heart. And he's not going to move with somebody that has a forward heart. You already came in this place tonight, lost person. not expecting God to save you. To be froward is someone who is disposed. That means you already have your mind made up.
Right.
You already had your mind made up when you got up this morning that God's just not going to show up. He's just not going to save me. Why is he dealing with you?
Sir.
That's right.
Why are you still breathing tonight?
Right.
Why did he allow you to come to church tonight? Why do you think that is? And yet we keep walking in our forward heart. We have our mind made up that God is not going to do anything. He's not capable. He's just not going to save me. Tonight's not the night. Let me ask you this, then when is the night? When is that night, Amy? Someone who is to go counter what is demanded or what is reasonable, that means you're doing the opposite of what God is telling you to do. Someone who has a forward heart is somebody who's got their mind made up, Zach, and they're going to do exactly the opposite of what God is telling them to do. And they wonder why they can't get saved. Wonder why you can't get saved, because you've already got your mind made up. God says, you believe unto me and thou shalt be saved. But they do the exact opposite. They become hateful and bitter against God. Their unbelief. God calls us to be holy. They're unholy. God calls us to love his word. They despise it. We're told to live according to God's laws and the laws of man, and they are full of iniquity. They're perverse, difficult to deal with, hard to please, and ungovernable. That's a forward person. That's what they're doing against God. Hey, they're full of iniquity. What is that iniquity? It's not sin. It's a lawlessness that's inside a person's heart. A refusal to do those things that God has said to do. Me and Zach were talking, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we were talking about the love of God last night. We were talking about Job chapter 7. Turn with me to Job chapter 7. I'm going to read it right now. Job chapter 7. Job chapter 7. This will sound familiar to a lost person. This will sound familiar to somebody who God is trying to deal with. Look at Job chapter 7, starting in verse 11. And Job is talking here, and he says, Job chapter 7, verse 11, he says, therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. He's tore up. He's in the midst of going through something that no man on this earth has ever been through. And he's tore up in the anguish of his spirit. How many times have we watched and preached in this place and watched people in the anguish of their spirit walk out of here and shake it off? You know, Job couldn't shake it off, Brother David.
Right.
He's in the anguish of his spirit. Amen. And look what it says to go on. It says, and it says, and I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. It's so deep inside of him. It's affected his body. It's affected his spirit. And it's affected his soul. He's in a place with God that he's never been. Wouldn't you like to be there? Hey, Christian, God will put you there.
Right.
God will put you there if he can't get your ear, he'll surely put you in a place like this.
Right.
God ain't got no problem doing that. Right. Me and Zach were talking about that last night. Why? Because God hates that person? It's out of a perfect love.
That's right.
Yeah.
A perfect and pure love. God would do something like that to a Christian. Why? Because he loves him and he says, I want you to come and take my hand and trust me and follow me and do those things that I ask you to do. And out of a perfect and pure love, I make those decisions for you. If you got kids in this room, you know sometimes you have to make decisions. And then kids look at you like, why are you doing that to me? They think you're trying to hurt them and take away all the fun. But inside you go, no, it's because I love you. I have to make this decision for you because I love you. And that's how God handles his children.
Yes, sir.
Take a hold of my hand, Dale, and just trust me. I know it seems like I'm hurting you, but I'm not. It's out of a perfect love that I'm leading you this way. I know the outcome.
Amen.
Oh, thank God for a God who would do that. Woo! I get excited over that stuff.
Amen.
Did I get excited at the table last night?
Sure
I did.
Amen.
What a wife. Wouldn't you like to know that God?
Amen.
Look at this. Am I a sea or a whale that thou sentest to watch over me? My friend, I want you to get that. I want you to get what Job just said. You know what Job just said? Why are you watching me, God? What? Am I a whale or am I the ocean that you're going to sit there and you're going to watch me? Michael, why is God watching you? Are you a sea or a whale? Why does he have his eyes on you and your family, Mike? Why, Miss Stephanie, does God have his eyes on you? Tell me why. Would God Almighty, the Creator, Jehovah God, have his eyes on Amy?
That's right. Amen.
That stirs something up inside of me, man.
Aye.
That's right. Man. Because the only time people like to keep their eyes on me is they thought I was stealing stuff from them. I'm not saying that because of their own. Little incident to happen. But look what he says here. When I say my bed shall comfort me and my couch shall ease my complaint. Home's a very comforting place, isn't it? Job thought for sure he was going to get comfort going home. But you know what God had to do? God removed that comfort.
Right.
Why? His eyes were watching. He's watching every step that Job makes. He's listening to his words. And why? You know what? God had to remove that comfort. Don't make him go to that point. Don't force God to move his hand in that direction. Because he surely will. Why? Because your soul is worth it.
Right.
And I'm going to show you that here in a minute. But I'm just telling you now, God will remove things out of your life to get your attention. He wants to remove every distraction out of your life. He wants to remove it so it's you and him. Focus, you and him, and all you have left. God will bring a person to a place where they have nothing left but to look up.
Good.
Why? Because your soul is worth it.
Better let him.
Your soul is worth this. Why I went to the cross. He doesn't want that soul to die and go to hell.
Right.
He says, then thou searchest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. So let my soul choose the strangling and death rather than life. I remember being in those birth canal, lost, getting close to being saved. And you know what? I was so afraid to die. I was afraid to eat. I was afraid to get in the car. And then I remember that night that I got saved. I said, God, I just can't do it no more. Either save me or kill me. I can't go through this door. I was in anguish of spirit. It was in my soul, Brother David. I didn't have to handle it anymore. I couldn't do it, Mike. I was drove to the end. There was nothing left. There was nothing left between. God had taken everything out of the way. And now it was just me and him. And now that choice had to be made.
Yes, sir.
Am I going to look at that? What he has to show me, or I'm going to die and go to hell. I knew that, Michael. I knew that. I knew there was no other choice that night. And after I got saved, I told Amy, I said it was either me getting saved tonight or I was dying and going to hell. There was no other way. He says, I loathe it. I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. Let me alone, God. My days are worthless. I don't have many of them. Let me alone. Could you imagine if Amy, you looked at me and said, Dale, you love me too much. Leave me alone. That's what Job is saying. Because God is on top of him. He's watching him. He's over. He's trying him. He's removing things. And he's saying, would you leave me alone? And God's not going to leave you alone. You know why? Because if you end up in hell, you can't blame God. You'll never be able to blame God for why you ended up in hell. That'd be your choice for that rejection, not God's. He chose a cross.
That's right.
Here it is. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him? What is man that you would pay attention to him, that you would watch him, that you would make his ways rough so that he has nothing left but to look at a holy God? Why would you do that, God? Why would you magnify him above the animals, above the trees, above all creation, you magnified man? He says in the very next part of that verse, look what he says here. And he says, that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. Could you imagine a holy God Listen, my friends, a holy God has his heart set upon you.
Oh, right.
He's got his heart set upon every single person that's sitting in these church pews tonight. A holy God, God Jehovah, who spoke all creation into existence, he's got his heart set on you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He has his heart set on you.
Amen.
He's got his eyes set on them. He's watching everything they do. Why? Because he hates you? There's a perfect love for you to see in the book of Job. Because God has his heart set on you, my friend.
Right.
But you know what? We'll walk out of here and grow forwardly in the way of our hearts. Because our minds have already been made up that God's not going to save me tonight. He's not going to come in this room and he's not going to move. He's not going to change my life. I've already come in here defeated. That's a forward heart. You're telling God, you know what? What you have to say ain't real. Look at this. Unbelief. Unbelief is a sign of a forward heart. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 32:20 said, "And I will hide my face from them."
That's right.
I will hide my face from them. Why? Because he goes on and he says this, "And I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation. Children in whom is no faith."
Right.
Some of you grew up in church your whole life. And there's an ant on the sidewalk that has more faith than you do in God.
Right.
We're living in a faithless generation. You know what God has to say about that? Look what he says here in Proverbs 11:20. He says, "They that are of a froward heart are an abomination."
Right.
An abomination. An abomination. That means an absolute and pure hatred. You've never been hated so much in your life. If you're a froward person, then what God can hate you as. You go, boy, isn't that a contradiction? How can he love and hate somebody? You know why? Because he hates the sin, but he died for the sinner.
Right.
He hates that sin. He wants to go ahead and he wants to annihilate that. And let me just tell you this, a froward heart, God hates.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because it's keeping you on the outside of God, not in the fold of God. Right. It's keeping you away from God, not closer to God. It's not drawing you close to God. Psalm 18:26 says this, "With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward." You know why people aren't getting saved? Because God is treating them just like they treat him. That's what a froward heart gets. Somebody who has their mind made up. Somebody who's going to go against everything that God has said. Look at, I had a man say this. He was preaching. He said, look at, physically, you don't have to leave church to leave church. I don't care how much seeking you're doing. I don't care how much church you're doing. I don't care how much praying you're doing. If you have a forward heart, you've already left God.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You've already left him. Could you imagine Amy getting up every day? Why would you pray and read if you knew that God wasn't going to do anything in your life? What drives you to pray and read and go to church? Tell me, what drives you to do that, you think? Do you think God's going to do something in your life? How many Christians get up every morning and say a prayer and read their Bible and go to church faithfully, but never expect God to do anything in their life? That's a froward heart. Why? Because you've already got your mind made up against the Holy God.
Right there.
Could you imagine never expecting God to show up in our life anymore? What good would our life be? If God never showed up in my life anymore, I might as well go ahead and be dead. There's nothing left.
Right.
There's nothing worth living on this planet.
That's right.
That's where the forward heart is.
That's right.
And when God hides his face, and when God has started showing himself forward against that person, it's because they've done it against them. And they go, "Why, God? Why, God?" And he says, "This is the reason why. Here it is. Listen." You've been forward to me. Because if you've been seeking, guess what? I've been seeking too.
Or is that a lie? Maybe that's a lie.
Mm. You see? Everybody says, well, I've been seeking God. Well, he's been seeking you, so who's a liar?
Right.
Is that not what the Bible says? Came to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yeah.
Says that he's been out there seeking and trying to draw all men unto himself.
Right.
Then how much seeking do you think you're really doing there?
That's right.
That's the reality.
That's right.
Doing the forward heart. With a forward heart, God's going to show himself forward. And people wonder, why am I still stuck here? Stop being a forward. Stop doing it to God. Stop having your mind made up like he can't do something or that he's not going to do something. No, you start expecting him to show up in your Bible reading. Well, Dale, what if he doesn't? Expect it anyway. Expect God to show up in your prayers. Expect God to show up in church.
Amen.
Why come?
That's right.
When God says to believe his word for salvation and a person does not, God won't save them. Does he want to? 100%. He died on the cross for them.
Right.
But when they're forward heart, they can't see past that. He's bringing forward towards them in unbelief. Jeremiah 29 says this, verses 10 through 13. He said, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished. There's times in your Bible, 40 years, 20 years, 400 years, 70 years. After 70 years, Miss Ruth Ann Esquith, after 19 years. You get my point? God will leave you where you're at. Look at this. That after the 70 years be accomplished, notice that God left them in captivity for 7 years to accomplish what he needed to be done in them.
Right.
Stop thinking about what you need to be doing. It's what he's trying to do with you. It's about what he's trying to accomplish. Salvation has never belonged to us. Go start back in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned. Who done the first sacrifice? Did we have to do that? God's been trying to remove man out of salvation. He's been trying to remove them out of the way since the beginning of time.
Right.
And guess what? We keep trying to get back into it. Hey, go read Exodus chapter 20, verse 25, where it says this, if you're going to build me an altar and you hew them stones, the moment that hammer hits that stone, it's polluted. Why? Because God doesn't want your works.
Right.
It's not about what you can do.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's about what he done. Well, that's too easy to believe, is it? You know, you guys know I love to study my Bible. Can you show me a level of belief that tells me I have to have in here? Does it say belief? There's no level. You see, people are looking for a level of belief. They're looking for a certain level of conviction because they've heard so many stories of this person got this and this person had that. Now they're waiting for that very thing to come to them. And you know what? When I got saved, it was totally different than anybody else's testimony.
Right.
But they're looking for somebody else's testimony to come into their life to affirm that they got it. And I'm going to tell you this right now. That will fall just as flat on the floor as every
right.
other profession you ever make.
That's right.
That's the reality. There's no certain level of anything. There's no certain level. It's a recognition. It's a believing and repenting.
Right.
Repentance.
Yes, sir.
Repentance. My goodness, if there's anything that's been taken out of Christianity today, it's repentance and dying to self. Thank God God has taught me how to die to myself. I'm sick of me every day now.
Right.
It's a reality. I'm not happy with who I am. If you're happy with who you are, I feel sorry for you. You know why? Because you're just puffed up with pride. God needs to break that thing.
Right.
I'm not happy with who I am.
Right.
I'm a sinner. I turn my back on God every day. Every day I don't spend enough time with him. Every day I get a forward heart towards him. God help me. You know why? He gave his life for me. Brother, I wouldn't be standing here tonight if it wasn't for Jesus.
Right.
You understand it? If he didn't have his heart set on me, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. I wouldn't have friends who accept me in their house, it still blows my mind. And I have people who have me in their house. He lost his wallet because he's a knucklehead like the rest of us. I love Brother Zach. We had a good time. We just do. And let me tell you this. You know what the devil did to me? Lost his wallet. We're tearing the whole house up. We have no clue where this thing is at. He leaves for work. I go up and get the car. I bring it down. Amber goes up. She goes to the second car. All of a sudden, the wallet comes up from being missing. I get in the car with Amy. I said, Amy, who do you think was the first one that thought that I stole that wallet? Yeah. You know what? I carried that with me.
Right.
That right there, I said, somebody probably thought that I stole this wallet, but you know what, brother? Come to find out they didn't. They never even thought that.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Somebody didn't think that about me? Hey, you know what? That's still exciting to me, Michael.
That's God.
That's what God does. He takes those things and he changes the person to where they feel comfortable having me in their house. And if something comes up missing, it's not my fault.
Amen.
Zach, man, you guys, listen, you don't know what that makes me feel like inside.
Right.
Accepted in the beloved.
Be careful now.
Accepted in the beloved, my friend.
Yes.
Woo!
Man.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. You don't get no better than that, but it's not going to come with somebody with a froward heart.
Man.
After these 7 years, he said, God knows that we will learn more and be closer to him when you're out of your comfort zone. Right. Stop trying to get comfortable in your lost condition.
That's right.
You need to be uncomfortable.
That's right.
And all the time. It needs to happen all the time. Right. Be uncomfortable because know this, that you are unholy. You are unholy. You are unholy. You are a condemned person to hell tonight if you're lost in this room. You are unholy. You are a condemned person in this room tonight, and it should bother you that you are that person. You know what the problem is? You don't believe you're a condemned person. You don't see yourself that way in God's eyes. Well, let me just take this book with you for a little bit, and I can show you. It's called A Dead Man or Dead Woman Walking. Those people on death row, you know they fight for their life, don't they, brother? Everything they can possibly do. Why? They're fighting to stay alive. How about it, my friend? How's your fight going with your soul?
Right.
It means nothing to them, Brother David. Nothing. Nothing to know that they're walking under our condemnation, Zach. Didn't it bother you when you were under condemnation? Didn't it bother you knowing that the very second that you close your eyes, you're going to end up in the flames of hell because you're a condemned person? Why? Because of what you are in a holy God's eyes.
Right.
You think that would shake some people up? Christian, how about it with us? Yeah, we're not going to wake up in hell. Yeah, good. But what about what we have to answer to? What about standing before Jesus Christ and he said, hey, Dale, you remember that person I told you to hand a tract to yesterday? I'm telling you a real story. I'm not afraid to tell you about my life. God directed me to hand a tract to somebody yesterday. Yeah. Normally, I don't do that. But you know what I've been praying? Lord, please make these people's souls matter to me again.
Amen.
Make them matter to me. I need that. I told Zach last night, I need things to matter to me again. Become hard in this thing. I want them to matter to me. I want to cry over things. I want my heart to be broke over a person. I said something today in a car. Somebody had cut me off and I had said something. And I go, oh my God, I'm sorry. That's your soul in that car, Lord. You know why, Michael? Because things are starting to matter to me again. And I want it.
Good.
That's Jesus Christ's soul. He died for that soul.
Right.
Would God help you to see where you really are in his eyes? Would to God that you would really open up and start putting away that froward heart? Because it's going to keep you where you're at. God will deliver you out of the things that you're in, Christian.
Amen.
when you hate the things that's in your life the way God does.
I struggle.
There's things, Zach, every one of us, that we struggle with as Christians. And you go, God, why won't you take this out of my life? Because you don't see it the way he does, and you don't hate it the way he does. Therefore, he's going to leave it in your life. That's why 70 years, 400 years, 40 years. I can name you many years that God has left people in that situation until they came to that place where they hated it and saw it the way he did. And then guess what he did? A great deliverance comes. Just the same thing to a believer.
Right.
Hey, sinner. Until you can see it the way God sees it and hate it the way he hates it, guess what? You'll stay in that condition. Imagine going to hell in that condition. You'll know just as much as the people that are in hell. You'll know just as much as them that are down there screaming, like what we had down there, we experienced down there in Tennessee, and what that sounded like with those voices going up like that. It was the most wicked thing I ever heard in my entire life. I said, oh my goodness, that's what hell's going to sound like. That would be a sad thing to hear that. It would be a sad thing to hear the Bible being quoted out of hell because they thought they knew something. Too late.
That's right.
But 1 Peter says, but the God of all grace.
Amen.
I love that word in the King James Bible, but the God of all grace.
Right.
It says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered. What do you mean? After that you have suffered. You know why most of those men don't get saved in jails and prison? Because somebody comes by and promises them nonsense.
That's right.
You will suffer as a Christian. You will have hard times as a Christian. But let me tell you, it's a whole lot different with Jesus Christ when you suffer.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's a whole lot more different peace.
Amen.
You got strength that you never had before. It doesn't come from these arms. It comes from a Savior. Let's go in there and tell them the truth about what they really are and who they really are in God's eyes. Let them get saved and let them struggle, because here it says, after you have suffered, he will, guess what he's going to do after you suffer? You see, God accomplishes his things in suffering. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 10. He says, I've chosen the fiery furnace of affliction. You ever wonder why you're in so much affliction over this whole salvation thing? It'd be a scary thing if you ain't being bothered. Go home and thank God tonight that you're still being bothered.
That's right.
Go home and thank him tonight that he's bothered.
Because right.
There's going to come a day, if you don't get saved, that bothering's going to be done. Go to Revelation chapter 19. It says they will not hear the voice of the bride anymore. And that candle will no longer shine in them. There's a time that God snuffs it out.
Right.
You go home and thank God tonight with a real heart. Not with a forward heart. You go home with a real heart tonight. You thank God that he's still bothering you. You know why? Because he's got his eyes set on you.
Right.
God help us. He says, after you suffer, he says, make you perfect. Oh, that means I'm going to be perfect. No, it means you're going to be mature. You're going to learn how to handle things a little differently. Established, not established. Those are two different words. Established. If you're not saved in here tonight, you need to be established in Jesus Christ. You need to have that foundation that is Jesus Christ. And once you get that foundation of Jesus Christ, that word established means to build upon what's already been established. How do you do that, suffering?
Right.
How do you become more mature in your Christian walk, Amy? Tiptoeing through the tulips? No, suffering. We're sinners. We still have that flesh. We live in a world. We have a sin nature. It's going to come out by suffering. Why? Because God is a mean and vicious God, because he's a loving Father. I was explaining this to Zach. I want you to go study in your New Testament. I'm not going to tell you where they are. It's in your New Testament 6 times. Paul talks about God and God the Father. Same person. 2 different aspects of a person. Brother David Vernon is a dad. He treats his sons as the dad. He's also, guess what? He's also a husband. He treats his wife differently than he treats his sons, I hope.
Amen.
Same man, isn't he? God, holy, righteous, the lawgiver. God the Father. Same one, holy,
righteous and the lawgiver, but also the one who has to make decisions for you that you don't understand. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to lead you as God the Father. Then there's God who chastens us as God. We're lawbreakers, we're full of iniquity. And he chastens us as God. You know what that does? That helps you differentiate where you're standing with God. Helps you understand why this trial may have come up. Why this suffering has come up in your life. And what kind, because when I got saved, all I knew was abuse. So instantly I thought, well, God, he's just an abuser. That's all. Now I'm saved and he's just an abuser. That's all he is. He's just mean. I had to learn how to differentiate from God chastising me. You ready? And chastising me with love.
Right.
It's a big difference.
That's right.
Big difference how to learn how to handle that kind of thing. And you know what? It made me look at God a little differently. Now I understand. There's times he's got to make decisions that I don't understand. And I think, wow, this is really going to destroy us. No, Dale. You're only seeing the temporary. You see, we try to put God in a box.
Right.
He's eternal. He's got infinite thinking. We have finite thinking. That means we're bound by space and time. God is not.
Right.
But yet we try to think of him that way.
Right.
You know how we handle God, Mike? Take a look at your family. Take a look at your parents and your boss. That's how you treat God. You'll treat God the same way you treat your family. You treat God the same way you treat your customers. You treat God the same way you treat your mom and your dad, whoever it is. That's how you treat God. Well, how can you say that? Because you know what? You think of him the same way that you think of your people. He's not a person as a person, a human being with a sin nature.
Right.
He's God. He's holy. Let me ask you this. Tell me this. You've been preaching long enough. Tell me one time where God says that he has to explain himself to us. Hmm. But that's how we treat God.
That's right.
Isn't that how we treat other people? Well, Zach, you got to tell me why. God don't have to do that.
Right.
Let me say this. No matter what decision you make in your life, it's still going to end up God's way. I don't care what you can live your will all your life, and God's still going to come out on top. It's still going to come out his way. I want to move on to something else real quick. Psalm chapter 119, real quick. For those of us who, like myself, continue to reject and I became very forward against God. I became very bitter against God because I just thought he didn't want to save me. And man, he just wanted to see me in hell. And, you know, he hated me so much. And I mean, that's how I thought for 4 or 5 years of being under heavy conviction. And I would continually reject. I would continually not see those things. I would come to church already defeated, already in unbelief. And then when God didn't move in my heart, you know what? I'd get out of my car and go, see, I told you, Amy, he wouldn't do nothing. That's the foolishness of man's heart. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Look at Psalm 119, verse 82 and 83. Psalm 119, verses 82 and 83. Let me explain this here a little bit. I won't go through it all. He says, my eyes failed for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? You ever been there? Ever been so distraught and so in anguish, and you're like, Father, I can't read the Bible. I can't understand what's going on. Lord, when will you bring comfort into my life? When will this thing end? And look what he says, for I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. And I want you to know that bottle refers to bottles that were made from animal skins. Okay? And when that bottle was made from animal skins and they used it for dry goods or they used it for liquid, once that bottle was too old, they would hang it by a fireplace. And this is what David is referring to here when he says he's become like a bottle in the smoke. And so what happens, that smoke rises up out of that fireplace and it gets on that bottle, and over time it turns it black. Then it turns it, ready? Hard. Then, if allowed, it'll turn brittle and break.
And David's likening that to his condition in God's eyes. How do you feel tonight? You feel like that blackened bottle, Christian? How about it, lost person? You feel like that smoke that's been bellowing over you, and it's making you black. It's making you get bitter against things of God, bitter against God for not saving you, making you hard as a rock, making you so hard that you'll come to that place that you don't believe that God wants to save you, or that He can, or that you'll start doubting when you come to services or reading your Bible, like anything's going to happen.
That's true.
But if you'll keep on like that bottle, He'll break you. You know what God does with broken pieces? He puts it back together, my friend. Hey. He doesn't throw them away. They're not worthless like that bottle. And once it broke, they would just sweep it up and get rid of it. Oh no, my friend. God takes every piece of that and He puts it back together in His glory.
Amen.
But it's going to be rough getting there. That smoke's going to billow. And it's going to keep on, and it's going to keep on. You go and study that in your Bible, and I want to share a few verses on that. It says Proverbs 29:1, "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, and suddenly shall be destroyed and without remedy." Let me just tell you this, that reproving is not just a one-time thing. God is not unmerciful like that. This is somebody who continues to do this thing. Continues to shake off that conviction. Continues to become bitter against the man of God. Brother, I know for a fact in this room tonight there's bitterness towards you and your son Zach. I can guarantee. How much you want to bet me on that? How much you want to bet me there's bitterness in this room against them? You know why you're bitter? Because you're blaming them for God not saving you. It's not their fault. Well, they preach this and they say this and they do that because they love you. They want to see you saved. That's that smoke coming up on that bottle. Man, it's trying to get you to that place where you become brittle and broken. You got to be broken in order to be fixed. How does that happen? Through the foolishness of preaching.
That's right.
He didn't say the wiseness of preaching. The foolishness of preaching. Why do you think that I'm a preacher? Because I'm a fool. And I like to preach. Imagine that. There will come a time when that bottle can take no more and it will break. Either it will be unto salvation or it will be unto a reprobate mind.
That's right.
You understand? Did you hear what I said? There will come a time when that bottle is going to break. It's either going to be unto salvation or unto reprobation. There's two choices. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Don't worry, my friends. Christians in this room, God hasn't forgotten about smoking you. You know what smoke is used for in the Old Testament? Guide them sheep. Block things. Cover things. God used that smoke to chasten His children, to guide them in the direction that He wanted to go. To make them where they can't see, where all they can do is rely on Him.
My dad.
Bet you didn't know that about your Bible, did you? You see, He doesn't just talk to the lost people, He's talking to His children.
Right.
He says, why? David cried out and he said, oh God, why has this cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? It's because God in His mercy is trying to steer and guide and lead one to Himself. He's trying to darken out everything around us, where all we have left is a vision of Him. You know, I see you cry many times, Zach, when you say, I can't wait to get to heaven and I can see Jesus face to face. You know, you can do that here on earth if you allow Him, if you block everything else around you. I'm not saying that just to you. I'm saying to all Christians. Psalm 119:176 says, I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Here's the last three words. Seek thy servant. Why would he say seek thy servant? Why would David say, seek
thy servant if God wasn't a God of seeking. David understood that about a holy God. David understood that when God was on somebody's tail, he wasn't lightly going to shake that off. God was out there seeking David. He was out there watching. He watched Job. Job said, why are you always watching me? Am I a whale? Am I an ocean? No, I have my heart set on you, Job. No, David. I have my heart set on you. Look at Luke 19:10, and I'm going to be done. Luke 19:10.
Why?
God is a seeking God. Look at Luke 19:10. He says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If anybody in this room tonight, which I know there's some, who know that they're lost, then Jesus came to seek you.
Amen.
I can show you time and time again in that Bible, over and over again, over and over again, where he's a love that seeks, where he's not letting up, he's not let go. He's got his arms, he's trying to show you, he's trying to light that up, he's trying to blacken you with the smoke, he's trying to make it. Look, how did he finally get Pharaoh to break and let Israel go? He hardened their hearts. But then he broke them. Are you going to let God harden your heart and break you? Or you're going to let God hard, or you're going to let those things harden your heart and you turn from God? It will happen. I've seen people say it. You told me that story. Who was that man? I can't remember. He said, some people just don't always get assurance.
Percy Ray.
Can you say that quote? What did he say?
He said, well, if I can't know about Jesus Christ and I can't know him, well, to hell with all of it.
That's somebody who became bitter against the holy God. And what did he do? Live for God after that? That's right. He turned away. Shooting at preachers. Why? Because he allowed that smoke to guide him in the wrong direction. He allowed his froward heart. Look at God has shown you. God has been dealing with you. Are you going to walk out of here tonight one more time forwardly in your heart? Or are you finally going to give up? And let him break that bottle. Let him make it brittle. And then guess what? He'll bring it all back together again. Isn't that a wonderful thing, Amy? When he starts bringing it all back together again. You want to get a study going on for yourself? Go read Lamentations chapter 3. Read verses 1 through 26. And you're going to see that Jeremiah explained perfectly what it is to be a bottle in the smoke. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 1 through 26. Go home and read them. I don't say that lightly. Go home and read them. Go home and pray it back to God. And you'll see that Jeremiah understood perfectly what it was to be a smoke in the bottle and God dealing with them. And you'll see the outcome of that. Brother, I'm done.